Welcome back to a special edition of What's Burning, playoff edition. Man, we got one of the best minds in the game. Kendrick Perkins came to bless us with his presence today.
My little brother.
Matt, what's up?
Stack 5. That's how I introduced him all the other
Stack, what's up with Matt calling me by my government name?
Man, I don't know what he on.
What you on today, man? Everything good? Yeah,
we good. Big Perk, welcome to the building, bro. Welcome to the building, bro. Well, the play-in was great from a fan's perspective. I understand some players might have not liked it, but from a fan's perspective, we definitely enjoyed it. But we have our matchups now. And let's look out west now. We got the number 2 Phoenix Suns against the number 7 Los Angeles Lakers. And I want to say they said something like, for the first time in 30 years, the 7 seed is
the favorite.
The favorite versus the 2 seed. So Lakers, obviously, exciting play-in game with the Warriors. They were ended up able to pull that out. Man, Phoenix, I can't give Coach Williams, CP3, Devin Booker enough credit for what they've been able to do this season. I mean, you know, Phoenix has kind of been at the lower half of the Western Conference for a while now, and, you know, you insert CP, they had a chance for the 1 spot, they fall to the 2 spot, so they've had a great year. Let's talk about this series, Jack. What are you looking forward to in this series?
Well, we talk about Phoenix, we can't forget JJ up there, general manager, he's doing this
James
thing.
Mm-hmm. Shout out
you
James
know what I mean?
Jones,
shout
for
out
sure.
James. I love this series, man. I think this is a great first-round matchup. We all know what LeBron and AD bring to it. I would definitely have them winning the series as well, but I think with a confident CP and the way they ride and a smart coach like Monty Williams, he was a competitor as well. They're going to take some stuff away. It ain't going to be easy as people think. Right. You know, Devin Booker's going to come out and put on the show as well. So everybody just saying the Lakers going to win like me. I think they're going to win, but at the same time, something is telling me this series is going to be better than people think.
I'm with you. I got to go on 6 or 7, Stack. I ain't going to lie, man. I got to go on 6 or 7. I think the deciding factor for the Lakers is, you know, I think DeAndre Ayton has took a major step forward. But I watched him towards the end of the season, and AD just had it his way. I think he had 42 points on him. Mm-hmm. Like, he dominated them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I just feel like they don't have an answer for AD. Like, mm-hmm. they have some wing guys that they could mix up and throw at Braun when you think about Jay Crowder and Bridges and even CP3, right, being a pesky defender. I think it's going to come down to Dennis Schroeder, right? Mm. Is he going to be able to match up with CP3? Mm. I mean, we're talking about a guy that passed up a 4-year, $80-plus million extension and said he won 100. Mm-hmm. Well, it's no more all-star game. You can't get an all-star game. That's over.
Right.
Right? You can't make an all-NBA team. That's over.
Right.
So the only way that you could prove you worth this 100 is right now where it matters the most.
Right.
You remember CP? We spoke right. to CP, and he was really high on Schroeder because they played together last year in Oklahoma City, and he said he was a competitor, loved him, loved his heart, loved his dog. So I'm definitely looking forward to that matchup, but I think you make a great point. Aiden's first time in the playoffs, although Book's first time in the playoffs too. Book's got some years under his belt. It's going to be a big challenge for Aiden because not only is he going to have to play defense, but he's going to have to produce offensively as well. Two completely different contrasting styles. I mean, Phoenix is going to get up and down. That's not really the Lakers' game. I definitely think it's going to be a competitive series. I see it going 6 for the Lakers. But like I said, like Jack said, I don't think it's going to be sweet by any means. I think it's going to be a battle. Mm-hmm. This is also a different type of matchup from a standpoint of the stars on each team don't really get to match up. You know, LeBron is a 3-point forward and AD is a 4. CP and Booker are 1 and 2. So the stars won't really get a chance to match up. But who is your X factor in this series?
I would have to say Ayton. I mean, that just makes the most sense. If you look at the team, if you look at the dynamic of the team and what Chris Paul and Booker bring, you know, you have a scorer, you have a creator, somebody, and Chris Paul's going to run the team. You got to have somebody down paint that's going to make a presence, that's going to get some rebounds, block some shots, make some noise, do something. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And this presence might not be just points. It might be you dunking on somebody and changing the momentum. It might be something like that. But he has to be a force in the paint for them to even have a chance in the series.
So, Perk, we all have the Lakers taking this series. But what do you think Phoenix has to do to push this to 6 or 7 games?
I think, you know, I think they got to limit their mistakes, right? Mm-hmm. They have to limit their mistakes when you think about, you know, being in the right spot in the right time. When you look at Phoenix towards the end of the season, they ranked number one for us, like, giving up drives. Like, the guys would just blow right by them. So they got to stop there because they was putting too much pressure on Ayton and he was getting in foul trouble. I just think continue to be a star in your role. Like, mm-hmm. when I think about the Phoenix Suns, the great thing I loved about them is from the jump, they established their identity. And I think Monty Williams did a great job of establishing roles, right? So each guy know their roles already. So, you know, when playoffs come, some guys may try to step outside their body. I don't see Phoenix doing that. I mm-hmm. see guys coming in and doing what they do, right? What they've been doing all season long. And I just think they just have to be themselves. I just think they outmatch, mm-hmm. right? They go come out there, they go be sound. Chris Paul is a leader. They go do what they're supposed to do offensively and defensively. They just outmatch right now, mm-hmm. like, and especially in the interior. You think Drummond should have his way too?
Right.
Like he should. Mm-hmm. Like he been on this fucking worldwide tour when he got bought out. Like, you know, taking phone calls and visiting places and like you got to show up.
Yeah.
I think an X factor not only in this series, but I think throughout the playoffs that the Lakers are going to need to lean on is Kyle Kuzma.
Mm.
Who's that going to be that consistent third option? Is it going to be Schroeder, Kuzma? But Kuzma can do it on both ends as well as Schroeder can do it on both ends. But I definitely think Kuzma played well when AD and Braun were down. Obviously, his shot attempts were up, his minutes were up. So how can he readjust his role, understanding that the two superstars are back? But he still has to be aggressive and effective. And I think not only in this series, but I think throughout the playoffs, if they're going to head to the championship, I think Kuzma's going to have a major playoff run.
Mm.
Next matchup we have the number 3 Denver Nuggets versus the number 6 Blazers. If we recall 2 years ago, this was the series that Portland won in Game 7 in Denver to go to the Western Finals. So this should be an exciting matchup. Obviously, Jamal Murray is down, but not unexpected or surprising, but Michael Porter Jr. has really stepped up. He was someone I've said that I love his game. I just think he needs more reps, more opportunity, more minutes, and he's gotten that now, and he hasn't disappointed. So let's talk about this series. What's your outlook on this series, Perk?
I think it's going 7. I think it's going 7. I mean, just because Denver, they're so hard to guard, right? You already have Jokic, who's, I mean, Greg Popovich called him the modern-day Larry Bird, and I thought he was crazy when he said it. But then when you watch him play, I mean, we haven't really witnessed anything like him, right? The pace slows down to his pace, right? And the way that guys cut and move without the ball, they're sound defensively. And they don't have a lot of household names, especially without Jamal Murray, but they have a lot of guys that can actually hoop.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have this little point guard, I can't pronounce his name, he's a old rookie.
Mm-hmm.
He's coming in, he's providing great minutes, right?
Capazzo,
yeah, you know, mm-hmm. you know them foreign names,
yeah, kind of
throw me
yeah.
off a little bit. Capazzo, yeah, Capazzo, that's him. But I think the Blazers win in 7.
Ooh.
Just because of Dame Dolan and CJ McCollum. But also I think Carmelo, man, like Melo, no one is talking about it, but I understand Jordan Clarkson and Derrick Rose, but you talk about a 6th man of the year candidate. He's been awesome for them off the bench. I think Nurkic is finding his way. They just have more depth.
Yeah.
They have more depth. Norman Powell, like Portland could just put up 140 on you. They don't even have to play defense. They had that many weapons.
Well, that's the one thing with Portland is they haven't been able to consistently stay healthy. It seems like they have everybody back healthy now coming into this series. Jack, what do you think the key to – first of all, how far you think this series will go?
I say 6. I say Blazers in 6.
Ooh, so we got 2 Blazers. And what's your reasoning behind that?
Well, I just think the hungrier team – the more experienced team. Jokic can't do it by himself. He's great. Mm. I'm never counting him out, but I just know the way Portland has been through the ringer and up and down the last couple of years in the playoffs where they've been injured, you know what I mean, and having guys in and out the lineup. Everybody's healthy now. We haven't seen this. Mm. And this is the moment for them to turn the corner. With a beat up Nuggets team without having Murray, I think this is their time to get a good feel this first round, beat them, and go into that second round feeling good. I think this is their year.
This is a tough matchup. I mean, I like both these teams. I mean, we got two people picked the sixth seed, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Interesting. I mean, it's tough. I mean, it's tough to match up with Dame and CJ. I think Nurkic is going to be huge in this series because they haven't had his presence around. And, you know, when he was healthy, he was throwing up 20-20 games, you know? Mm-hmm. So he's going to be big. I like the pickup of Norman Powell. I'm interested to see how Aaron Gordon does. If I'm not mistaken, this is his first playoffs, even though he's got a handful of years under his belt. And Michael Porter Jr. really having the rope now. Obviously, last year, we all know what Jamal Murray did in the bubble. I mean, he became a superstar last year in the bubble. So to not have that kind of firepower going into the playoffs, granted, they went 13-4 with Murray out. Playoffs are a different monster. So I'm interested to see how Joker's supporting cast plays. Perk, do you have a key matchup in this series that you're watching?
You know what I do, but I want to add to Stack's point about Portland. They got a lot of pressure on them this season. Like, to me, this is a make or break season for them. Like, if they kind of don't reach the finals, it's like, do you break up CJ and Dame? Like, that is to that point right now. Like, how long are you going to continue to let this rock out, or is Dame go move around? I know he said it, he's not that guy, but sometimes, you know, you having to make moves.
That's a great point. We're definitely going to talk about that later. Like, what teams have the most pressure? And I think Portland is definitely one of those teams because has it run its course with Dame and CJ, or have they not been healthy enough? Have they continued to run into that Warriors team to kind of stop them from doing what they were going to do at times? So that's a great point. I think it's definitely a big playoff series for them. But who's your key matchup in this?
You know what? I'm looking forward to big Nurkic and Jokic go at it. I mean, Nurkic was traded because of Jokic, right? Mm-hmm. They got him up out of there, and I tweeted something. I said that Jonas Valanciunas was the most underrated big, in my opinion, in the league because he don't get talked about enough. And Nurkic replied, like, you know, like a yawning emoji, like he felt some type of way. So now you get to prove it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ain't now no you better get to way. Prove it. Stack, X factor in this series.
For me, it's Dame. Mm. It's Dame. Because, you know, Dame, just like last year, Dame can run off 3, 4, 40s or 50s in a row. You know what I mean? If he in his bag like that, we know he's not the type of player that does not show up in the playoffs. They just haven't won. He show up all the time. Right. They just haven't won. So he's my X factor. If he go out there and just explode like we know he can do, this series won't even be close.
So we got two people picking the sixth seed versus the three seed. I'm always rolling with Dame. I'm fucking with Dame. Like I said, I think that, you know, the Warriors stopped them from doing a lot of stuff in the Western Conference, and then injuries have plagued them a lot. But with, you know, a healthy going into the playoffs, I think I said it a few weeks ago on the jump, I think that the Trailblazers were my sleeper team in the West. Like, don't be surprised if these motherfuckers get hot and make a run to the finals because they have all the pieces and now they're finally healthy. All right, next up, our next matchup between the LA Clippers versus the Dallas Mavericks on the radar presented to you by DraftKings. This is a matchup that we saw in the bubble last year that the Clippers almost gave away. Luka was on one. The one thing I like about the Clippers this year is I was saying I think they had too much hype. As a former Clipper, they're never used to talk about winning a division or winning a championship. Yeah, that might have been too much pressure on, but I think this year, you know, getting Ty Lue, adding some key pieces, I think they've been flying under the radar the whole entire season, kind of just getting their shit together now for this moment. Some people say they lost two games in a row, so they didn't have to see the Lakers. Whatever the fact is now, you can't run from nobody now. So the playoffs are here. They got a tough first-round matchup against Dallas. Jack, thoughts on this series?
It's going to be a good one, man. I think the best thing about it, well, the best thing for the Clippers was Luka punished them last year and this year when they played.
So they know it's coming.
Yeah. They prepared. They know we can't have another letdown. We can't lay an egg. And we know Luka is all they got, basically. You know what I mean? So we gonna see if they can lock up on defense. We know they can score, but I just think that the fact that Luka been killing them for the last 8 times they played, I think they're going to come with their game face on and do what they got to do and win the series, maybe in 6.
Perk.
You know what? I'm a little scared for the Clippers, man. I ain't going to lie. Like, I'm scared because this is kind of like a little rivalry, right? Luka, from what they did last year in the bubble, And by the way, you know, T. Lou, my guy, man, he's my brother. But it's okay, right? We know that the Clippers lost those last two games of the regular season on purpose. Mm-hmm. We know that. Like, let's keep it a buck, and it's okay. You're trying to position yourself to get to where you're trying to go.
Yeah.
And it's all right. I get it. But when I look at it, I'm kind of concerned about the Clippers, man, because, one, Kawhi doesn't look healthy, right? Paul George didn't finish the last part of the season strong at all. He did not look good. Mm-hmm. And then Serge Ibaka coming back in. To me, with Pat Bev, one point is I think it's like they may have too much, if that makes sense. They got too much. Like, at some point, it's going to have to be an 8-9-man rotation. Somebody's going to get left out.
Seven.
Right. Somebody's going to get left out. They're super deep. So, I mean, it's like you go play Reggie Jackson. You're going to play Pat Bev. You're going to play Rondo. Like, you got to make a decision. You're going to play Boogie Cousins. He been playing well for you. Mm-hmm. Or you got to play Serge because it's coming from the front office.
Right.
You're going to play Big Zubac. Like, you got these decisions to make, right? But then when you look at Dallas – last year in the bubble, Porzingis and Luka, they were the highest scoring duo in the bubble last year when healthy. Both of them was averaging 30.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw how that series was going with Porzingis in it, right? And then you look at this Dallas team. I don't really fuck with Rick Carlisle like that, but I mean, it is what it is. I look at this Dallas team, and they have a lot of guys like Tim Hardaway, you said it, Matt, when we were on the jump. And then you think about Bronson, right? Nobody mm-hmm. like
solid
he,
pro.
He's been flying.
He hard,
yeah,
too.
He played hard as fuck.
Both ends.
And then you got like Kleber who could stretch the floor. You got Trey Burks, right?
Who's, he played well in the bubble last year.
He played extremely well in the bubble. He did not back down from Josh Richardson, mm-hmm. finding his stride. And then Dallas, you got to feel some type of way because the team basically tanked the last two games.
Just to play you.
Mm-hmm.
So if the Clippers, you got to be careful. So with this being said.
Still got the Clippers.
Nah. I got the Mavs in seven.
Ooh. Mm. The key to this for me is Porzingis. We know that Luka, no matter Kawhi's on him, Paul's on him, Luka's going to do what he does. Who's going to be that consistent night in, night out second option? And Porzingis has the talent. He's just been inconsistent and injured. Like you said, the number one scoring duo in the bubble last year. Important. I love Tim Hardaway Jr. I like Dallas's team, but I also like the fact that the Clippers, to your point, may have a lot of bodies to play, but to me, that's a good problem to have. T-Lou's going to have to handle that problem, but I'd rather have too much than not enough,
mm-hmm.
and they definitely have too much. So adding Rondo, adding Boogie, and then they're another team like Portland, although they haven't been together as long as Portland. The Clippers have been under the clock, under the watch. What's this team going to do with these two superstars that came here? So this is there's more pressure. Also, what's Paul going to do in the playoffs? He came on this couch and was very confident and had a great season. Like you said, although he didn't finish as strong as he should have, had a great season, but had a message for the world that he's here, he's back, he's healthy. So we want to see that in the playoffs as well. So key matchup, who's your guys' key matchup in this series?
I mean, it gotta be Luka and Paul George, right? Like, we gotta expect PG to guard Luka.
Mm-hmm.
And we gotta expect, Luka go duck the smoke. He not gonna guard anybody. But
right.
I mean, if you just talking about head-to-head, that's the matchup I want to see. Because Kawhi's not healthy, right? He's not going to be the Kawhi that we saw last year in the bubble. So I think the stage is set for Paul George to redeem himself from last year. And it's also set to see if Luka was a fluke or he's going to duplicate what he did last year in the bubble. So that's my key matchup.
Jack, X Factor in this series.
X Factor, I'm going Boogie Cousins. If Boogie can get out there and get a 15 night the whole series and they can feed him and he get it in his bag, it's going to be a problem because Porzingis ain't tough enough to guard Boogie. And if Boogie can do that, that's going to open up the floor for the guards, for Paul George, for Kawhi to do their thing. So if Boogie can come in and be dominant, he my X Factor. He going to help them a lot.
I love that. I got the Clippers in six, so we'll have to see. Next matchup, we have the number one Utah Jazz versus the number eight Memphis Grizzlies. Perk, what do you think? You had, I think you had off camera, you had a great comment of why that you think the play-in came about. Let's hear your reasoning behind it.
I just feel like with the play-in, right, every action has a reaction. And I think guys, and I'm not going to call their names out, but they know who they are. They started the low management shit, right? And so all of a sudden, I think the play-in tournament, in my opinion, is a good idea because it holds players and organizations accountable not to take the regular season for granted no more.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, like, when we were playing, we used to look forward to playing every single night. 82. Like, fuck yeah. what 82. You talking about. We was trying to play 82 games. Mm-hmm. And we was trying to compete for 82 games, mm-hmm. right? It's not like that no more. Guys are looking on the schedule. I'm coming in to coaches. I ain't playing tonight. Well, first of all, if it wasn't a pandemic and you got fans that are coming back into the stands and you got people out there who are not millionaires, who are not making six figures or whatever, who are paying their hard-earned money to come in and pay to see a certain player play the game of basketball, and all of a sudden they go there and it's a late scratch and they really not injured, it's really because of low management, you cheating the fans.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Vanessa Bryant said it at the Hall of Fame ceremony. She said it, that Cole wanted to go out there every single night and play banged up or whatever for the people that was in the 300 section.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is why I like the play-in tournament, because it makes you motherfucking compete every single night in the regular season.
Mm, take it serious.
So now don't get to that 7 or 8 spot where you got to play in that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Solidify your spot early.
6 and up.
Yeah.
But back to this young Memphis team, 7 players averaging double figures. Utah on paper looks great. You know, number 3 in defensive rating, number 4 in offensive rating, led the league in made threes. Big question again, is Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley going to be healthy enough to chase around this young, athletic, up-tempo Memphis Grizzlies team? Perk.
Yeah, I see this series going 6. Memphis is not going to lay down. I see Utah winning in 6. But this Memphis team, they got one of the most underrated backcourts in the game. Dylan Brooks. And Ja Morant. And when you look at the big fella down there in the middle, Jonas Valanciunas, he's averaging 17 and 14 a night. That's what he's giving you a night, every single night. And then you have slow-mo, right? Slow-mo, Kyle Anderson. He's been giving you a solid 13, 14 points a night at the wing position. You got Clark, Jaren Jackson Jr. So, and they feisty, like they want to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Ja Morant plays with a lot of swag, but he carries himself like you got us fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it, but like he's on social media, like
y'all tripping,
like we coming, mm-hmm. and you gotta love that about him. But I just think the Jazz experience, their depth. Let's go 6 games. I give it to the Jazz.
Jack, thoughts on this young, athletic Memphis team?
I'm calling upset.
Upset alert?
Yeah, I'm calling upset just for the reason he said, Valanciunas. I think he's going to be a bigger factor than Rudy Gobert in this series.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to dominate the paint. He's going to punk Rudy Gobert. And I think just like Jazz on social media telling y'all sleeping on us, I had that feeling before. And we said the same thing when they slept on us and we shocked the world. So I think John was capable of doing the same thing.
You got a 1-8 upset here, 8-1 upset, huh?
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting.
I mean, like I said, Memphis has a lot of weapons, a lot of young. And sometimes being young works for you because you just don't know no better. Like, we going out here to hoop regardless. It don't matter where the fuck we at, what the score, what the series is. We just going out here to play. And now they have a lot of young players that can do that. So definitely interesting series. I got Utah, man, I got Utah 6 or 7.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now we're going to bounce over to the Eastern Conference where we have the number 1 seed, Philadelphia 76ers, versus the number 8 seed, Washington Wizards. I commend the Wizards first and foremost. Mm. I mean, they were in the gutter. A lot of people talking about Brad Beal needs to leave. I was one of them.
Me too.
Westbrook injured early but came out and had a tremendous season. Thoughts on this, but then again, Sixers, Embiid, the boys, what Doc has them doing. I really like the 76ers, and we haven't really talked much about them. Thoughts on this first-round matchup, Perk?
Man, I hate to say it. Y'all know how I feel about Russ, the Brody. I mean, he's a problem. I think he, you know, when you talk about being one of the most ferocious players, right? He probably is dead in the league, right? Guys that, like, he intimidates you when he walk in the gym. But with that being said, I got the Sixers in five. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just because the Wizards, they don't play defense. Like, they don't play no defense at all. But the 76ers, like, when you think about how many bodies they could throw at Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal, you got Tobias Harris, Ben Simmons, you got even Danny Green, you got
Curry,
Tybos, who's mm-hmm. coming in off the bench, and look,
Shake Milton,
but
Bill gave them 50 this year.
Yeah, he did. But Ben Simmons, I think he's not. But Bill not healthy though, Stack.
Yeah, he's not. You're right.
That's the only reason I'm saying that. That's the only reason I said in five. And then they just don't have an answer for Big MB. Like, they don't have an answer for him at all. Like, mm-hmm. he just...
I don't think the league has an answer
for him. Yeah, right.
Straight up.
The league don't have
But like we were saying the other day, what MB will we see, though? Will he be Shaq MB?
I call him a 275-pound version of Hakeem Olajuwon.
Mm.
Like, because his footwork, if you watch his game,
Yeah,
it's sick. I just think Doc got these guys' attention, right? And I think it was best for both worlds, right? For Doc to leave LA, and I think Doc, they have bought into what Doc is preaching over there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Tobias Harris is having his best season. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Seth Curry. We talk about Steph, obviously, but...
Mm-hmm.
You got self fucked up. You know what I'm saying? On both ends of the floor.
Well, I mean, we both got a chance to play for Doc. I think the one thing Doc is great is at encouraging players and like laying them mm-hmm. roles out. What's his thing? Be a star in your role. And it looks like everyone over there knows what the fuck they're supposed to be doing. We had Doc on the show, and the first thing he told Ben was, I'm not tripping off you shooting threes. Just continue to be the best you. Be you. You want to shoot three, shoot them, but continue to be you. Mm-hmm. I like this Philly team. You know, obviously a lot of attention in the East has gone towards the Nets. But this Philly team has flown under the radar, been consistent all season, and I think the biggest key is, like Jack said, which Embiid are we going to get? Obviously not a knock on Washington. You know, like I said, hats off to them for their grind, but I just don't think they have enough outside of not playing defense. And Beal is not 100% healthy. It was going to take 100% healthy Beal and Russ to average 30 a game to even make this a series, and I don't mm-hmm. know if they're going to both be able to do that. So I, too, have – actually, I got this as a sweep, to be honest with you.
Mm.
Jack, key matchup in this series?
Key matchup? It's hard to go with Bill. You got to go Simmons and Russ. I'm pretty sure Simmons is going to guard Russ and try to keep him down, try to keep him his triple-double numbers down. But it's going to be good to see them go at it.
Mm. So what do you have? You have the Sixers?
I have the Sixers in five. Mm. I feel like Russ is good enough.
Get one.
And even an unhealthy Bill, they're good enough to pull off one.
Definitely not mad at that. Next series, we have the number two Brooklyn Nets, who most have favored to win the championship, versus the Boston Celtics. Obviously, losing Jaylen Brown was a big hit to the Celtics down the stretch. We all saw that Jason Tatum had to drop a 50 ball to secure that mm-hmm. seventh seed mm-hmm. in the play-in situation. Nets, they haven't had their core three, big threes, really played more than 10 games together this season. Thoughts on this series, Perk?
Sweet. Sweet. And you know what? I would have said, like, maybe five or six for Boston because of Jason Tatum, and they still have Kemba Walker. But after listening to Brad Stevens' comments after the game the other day, I'm like, nah, it's a sweep. Like, I was wondering if he wanted to stop, retire, and go coach for the Nets. You know,
scared.
Yeah, I mean,
very complimentive.
Too over, like we're getting ready to go to war. Like, what are you talking about? Yeah, to the casual fan, they just it's hard for them to lose. Like, what?
Yeah, he said you don't see him losing.
Yeah, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, And then they trying to say, oh, nah, he just trying to get his team fired up. I'm like, nah, that ain't.
Reverse psychology don't work with too many of the brothers. Newsflash. That don't work with the brothers.
Yeah, I ain't with that. So, Jack. That's a sweep.
Jack.
I got to go with sweep. I love Tatum. This is the time where you get what you've been asking for. The three-headed monster's coming. It's time. What everybody been waiting on, it's coming. So beware. And they gonna do what they supposed to do. Sweep. I got a sweep too.
They gonna run him over.
Yep.
Huh? Fournier's averaging 20 in the last 7 or 8. Kemba, consistent second scorer now that Tatum's out. Now that Brown is out. But I don't think any of that is gonna be enough against this team. This team is tough, man. So I too agree with the sweep. Next matchup we have, man, it kind of feels weird saying this. The 4 seed New York Knicks. Versus the number 5 seed Atlanta Hawks. Man, can't give Coach Tibbs enough. I think he went out there, implemented his style with a little bit of flexibility, had these dudes playing defense. Julius Randle, to me, is the most improved player in the NBA. Mm. On the flip side, Trae Young and Collins is a nice little duo. They have a lot of weapons on that side over there in Atlanta.
Nate McMillan,
yeah. Mm. I mean, shout out Nate McMillan. The Hawks went 26-11 down the stretch with McMillan, which was the third best record in the league at the time. Trae Young is fully healthy. This is going to be a fun series. Jack, talk to me about this series.
It's going
to
be interesting. I got it going 7, but I don't have a winner. Both of these teams are new to the playoffs. Both of these teams are young. Both of these coaches are still trying to figure out what they're working with. Yeah, both teams have all-stars. So this is going to be basically even series. We're going to see what star shines brightest in this series and kind of separate themselves. And is it going to be Randle? Is it going to be Trae? We're going to see.
Well said. Mm.
Man, it's hard. It's going 7, but I got the Hawks. I got the Hawks beating the Knicks. I just, at times, the Knicks just can't score enough, right? And then at some point, you got to put up a lot of points, and I get it, right? The Knicks won. They went 3-0 against the Hawks, but Julius Randle had to have 40 plus in two of those games. I don't know if he's capable of doing that with adjustments, right? At the power forward, the power forward position, you need that guard, right? Derrick Rose is obviously D Rose, but I'm looking at Trae Young, and I'm looking at him to have that Jamal Murray effect this year on the postseason. Like, he gets 25 in his sleep, but I'm looking for him to really have a breakout postseason, like to go out there and shine. Look at Collins, right? Guy that's out there giving you 18 and 8 a night. Clint Capella anchoring the defense. He's giving you 14 and 13 with 2 blocks. Then you have Lemon Pepper Lou Will coming in off the bench with Gallinari. Like, Bogdanovich is giving you 18. The Hawks just have so much firepower that when it comes down possession by possession, I just think that they just could go on those high streaks that could pull them over the top. That's why I got the Hawks at 7.
I think this is going to be a really fun series. I think they're evenly matched. Two contrasting styles. I mean, the Hawks have 5 or 6 guys and give you 20 at any given time. But like I said, I like Tibbs' experience in this team. Although they're new to this Knicks team, it seems like they've really bought into that. And we all know that playoffs are about adjustments. So what is Atlanta going to do when they're trapping Trae Young all over the floor? You know what I mean? I think it's just small adjustments that Tibbs makes that's going to give New York the edge, and looking for Julius Randle to have a big series. Derrick Rose have a big series. I got the Knicks in 7. Next up, we have the Milwaukee Bucks versus the number 6 Miami Heat. This is a rematch from last year. I think, Perk, me and you both picked this upset on the jump last year.
We both had
Miami beating the number
1 seed. Bet y'all won't pick it this year. Bet y'all won't pick that same. Yeah, y'all can't wait to hear this.
The Bucks have been my one team that I said, similar to the Clippers in the West, that have been floating under the radar, switching up lineups. Giannis has been on his shit. Adding Drew Holiday is obviously going to be a huge piece to their success. And I think it's their time to make that jump. Perk, tell me about this series.
Man, it's hard for me to go against them goons from Dade County. Jimmy Butler, right? Bam. But I got the Bucks in 6. I got the Bucks in 6. I actually got the Bucks coming out of the East, to be honest with you. I think they have everything that they need and more. Giannis, I mean, we watching him take his jump shots and knock down three-point shots, but his playmaking ability has went to another level. You know, right after the All-Star game, he had a stretch of about five games where he was averaging a triple-double. And I'm looking at this Bucks team, and Miami is going to scrap, but the Bucks with Jrue Holiday, like one of the best two-way players in the game today, like strap up the best of them. And then Chris Middleton, a guy that flies under the radar. Brook Lopez, a guy that protects the basket, who don't get enough credit for what he brings to the table. But I think the thing that set the Bucks apart from everybody else, in my opinion, the two great additions that they had was Bobby Portis.
I was glad you mentioned him.
And P.J. Tucker. And not only for what they bring on the court, but now it's no more punk in the Milwaukee Bucks. Like, Giannis and Chris Middleton could look over and be like, nah, I got some big brothers over there. Mm-hmm. Cause you know, like Bobby Portis, he bought that action. Mm-hmm. PJ Tucker, he bought that action. So it's not like you're not about to punk them. And they go give you something on the court. Bobby Portis right now, he's giving you 12 and 8 off the bench. Then the Bucks could go small. Put Giannis at the five, put P.J. Tucker in that corner, and just tell me how you going to stop Jrue Holiday and Giannis in the high pick and roll, or even Chris Middleton and Giannis in the high pick and roll. So I got the Bucks in six.
I'll say seven, even though the Bucks kind of figured out their mistakes from last year. I think they figured that out. They're the only team that embarrassed Brooklyn back-to-back nights. Giannis had 50 damn near both nights. Mm-hmm. So they feeling real confident coming in. I don't think they looking over Miami, but they coming into the series way confident than they did last year when they played them. And they going to be a different team. Bud got these guys playing different. Like you said, with the additions they made, they look like a championship team now. They have all the dynamics, you know, that they need to be a championship team. And even though I like Miami, one of the hardest playing teams in the league, you can't never count out Jimmy Butler. Look what they did last year. But this is a whole new season. You're not surprising nobody now. Everybody know what y'all coming with, and Milwaukee don't want to have no letdowns. It's going to be a seven-game series, but I see Milwaukee winning.
I agree. I'm a huge fan of Miami for the way they play. You know, blue-collar, Jimmy Butler's a blue-collar superstar. I mean, that team goes as Jimmy goes. I think their young shooters had a little bit of a finals hangover. But they finally woken up and started shooting the ball like they're capable of shooting. I think adding Trevor Ariza was a big pickup for them, championship experience, a 3-and-D guy. Mm-hmm. But with all that said, I still got the Bucks. I think their additions that you mentioned, Bobby Portis and P.J. Tucker, are going to be huge just for that reason. Mm-hmm. They're going to give you – they're going to production, but I think just the ability that the Giannis and the boys know that they got some dogs in the kennel with them are going to be very important. And then I think a lot of pressure is going to be taken off of Giannis from a standpoint of, now you know I'm going to be in the pick and roll. I'm going to be – Jrue Holiday is someone who could definitely hit a lot of these big shots that people have been looking for Giannis to hit or put, like you said, at that pick and roll, that 1-4 pick and roll is going to be murder. So I got the Bucks in six as well. Now we have our picks for the Eastern Finals, Western Finals, and then finally the championship. Perk, let's start with you. Perk, who do you have in the Eastern Conference Finals?
Well, I got Philly. They got the easy side of the bracket, right? And then I'm going with the Bucks.
So that means the Bucks would have to beat the Nets in the second round.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And this is the reason why I'm going with the Bucks is because the best thing that could happen for them is them getting Miami the first round, and now they get to get tested. Now, because we all know Eric Spoelstra is going to throw the kitchen sink at them for us defensively, right? Everything they go – and when they get to Brooklyn, Giannis is going to have it his way. So I got the Milwaukee Bucks and the Philadelphia 76ers in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Right, hold on. Don't give us your pick yet. Jack?
I got the Nets and Philly. I don't see Milwaukee getting past the Nets in the playoffs. They figured it out during the regular season. But in the playoffs, it's going to be hard. Blake and everybody, they're going to have a totally different game plan, and guys that know what's at stake. I feel like Brad Stevenson. I don't see the Nets losing. I see them beating Philly in the finals, in the conference finals.
See, the 76ers have the easy draw. Not easy. I mean, not as easy in the playoffs, but the easier road to the Eastern Finals. And then I like the Nets. I mean, and the reason why it's so hard to pick against the Nets is because two of your top players can have an off night, and you can still win. And mm-hmm. There's not another team in the NBA that can say that. If AD and LeBron don't play well, the Lakers lose.
And then again, I didn't mean to call, but I thought about this too while you was talking. They got Boston, right? That's going to be easy. They're going to be resting. Milwaukee going to have a fight. Brooklyn need to rest a little bit. So it's going to be easy first round to help them going into the second round.
That could be kind of like your Boston team. Didn't you guys go to seven games, three series in a row? Were you on that team?
Yeah, we did. We went.
Three game sevens, right?
Yep.
And then you guys beat the Lakers in the finals?
No, we went two game sevens.
Two game sevens. Mm-hmm.
The Hawks in Cleveland.
Yeah. And then the grind.
Wow.
Yeah, so again, I got Philly versus the Nets mm-hmm. in the Eastern Finals. All right, next we go to the Western Conference Finals. Jack, who you have in the Western Finals?
I'm going Lakers Clippers.
Battle of LA.
That's what I want to see. For. That's what we all waiting for. I think the Lakers, are shoe-in more in the finals than the Clippers. I think Bron and AD going to do what they need to do to get there, but I think those two teams will meet up in the Western Conference Finals.
I'm going Jazz and Lakers. I'm going Jazz and Lakers just because I think Dallas is going to upset the Clippers in the first round, seven games. I think the Lakers, they could beat the Suns. They're going to beat the one out of Denver and Portland. And I just think Utah was securing that number one seed. And no matter if it does go seven games, to me, they're not losing at home. Not to neither one of those teams. They're just not.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, you high on the Jazz. I'm not mad at that. I, too, have the Lakers versus the Clippers, Battle of L.A. In the Western Finals. I think we've been waiting for this for the past 2 years. Again, the Clippers have flown under the radar. And, have slowly been stacking their deck and getting people right. Kawhi's health is going to be integral to their advancement. But I definitely like that Battle of L.A. in the Western Conference Finals. So we move on to our finals matchup. Perk, who do you have in the finals?
Lakers and Bucks. Lakers and Bucks. LeBron and Giannis. Ooh, yeah, okay. that's what I'm looking at. Lakers and Bucks.
And your prediction?
I got Lakers back-to-back champions. Back-to-back. I think because the more that LeBron James and AD continue to play, they're going to continue to get their rhythm. And like we saw last year, like when they're at their best, it's no stopping them.
Mm-hmm.
Like especially AD,
mm-hmm.
right? AD is one of one. Like. He's a Kevin Garnett 2.0 when you talk about how versatile he is. And he showed us that last year, like, he dominated, like, Shaq and Will Chamberlain numbers. Like,
mm-hmm.
it was like that, like, he was just a fucking animal. So I don't see nobody stopping them, like, not when they, I just don't. I don't see nobody stopping them.
Jack, who you got in the finals?
I got, I'm going to go with the Clippers and the Nets. For some reason, I feel like that three-headed monster, a Boogie, Serge, and what's the other big guy name?
Zubac.
I think they're going to make it tough on AD. They're going to lean on him. And Bron's not 100% healthy. I think the Clippers take them and meet the Nets in the championship, and the Nets going to do what they're going to do all playoffs, dominate. And win the championship.
Niggity Nets.
Damn, you got some picks. I almost want to say the Lakers just so I could not pick the Clippers. Maybe I was bad luck picking the Clippers last year.
You had nothing to do with that, bro. It wasn't you. Trust me. It wasn't you.
Finals matchup. I got the Nets coming out of the East. I'm a big fan of the Nets. Like I said, they're going to get tested. I don't see how much they'll get tested, but I definitely feel they'll get tested in the East. Coming out of the West, I hate to go against LeBron because I've gone against LeBron, and I think every time I've picked against LeBron, he's proved me wrong.
That's everybody.
Right. So it's their health is going to be key, and I just don't know if they can stay. They're not already not healthy, so I don't know through these rough playoffs are they going to be able to stay healthy. So I'm going to go Clippers versus the Nets in the finals. And I think it'll be a great finals, but I have KD winning his third championship and third finals MVP.
Well, let me ask y'all a question real quick. Stack and Matt, tell me who is y'all dark horses in the Eastern and Western Conference? Like, tell me, give me an Eastern Conference dark horse who's going to come out of the Eastern Conference that not your favorite.
My Eastern dark horse is the team you're picking to come out of the East, the Bucks. Like I said, for every reason you said.
Dark horse would have to be Miami. And in the West.
Yeah.
Mine's Portland in the West.
Mine's Portland in the West.
I love
them. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mine in the West is Portland. For sure.
What like if they pull it off, bro?
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised. Bro. Like we're sitting up here talking about these picks, and in my mind, I'm sitting up. We're talking about these picks, but in my mind, I'm sitting up here saying to myself, like, this shit really up for grabs,
right?
Especially in the Western Conference.
First time like, you can say that in the West.
Yeah,
though.
In the West, like, I'm like, it's really up for grabs because I'm sitting up here thinking like. Nah, Portland could get hot. And then I'm sitting up here saying Utah could do something. And
right.
Like, I want to roll with the Clippers. I had them my favorite like 3 weeks ago, but then they started kind of, you know.
Declining.
Yeah, at the wrong time.
So before we get out of here, obviously we know these playoff matchups are set. Who are some teams you feel that really have a lot of pressure on them to do something this year? Not necessarily win the championship, but you at least got to make the conference finals or the finals. Are there teams that you guys feel that are kind of on the clock as far as team and possibly going a different direction? Or
I would say Boston, but they're not healthy. But Portland for sure. It's with no brainer. Portland is on the clock.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Carmelo, we don't know how much long Carmelo going to play. Y'all got to hold on to him. Y'all got a healthy team right now. And everybody had a chance to play a couple games before the playoffs. So y'all got your whole team. No more excuses. Let's see what y'all can do. Definitely Portland.
I say it's the Clippers.
I agree.
Like, they're on the clock, and here's why. Because I think what the Clippers do this postseason is go decide what Kawhi do for his contract.
You know you're thinking about that.
Is he free in 22 after this season?
I mean, he has a player,
right?
He has a player option.
Mm-hmm.
And I think whatever the Clippers do this year is go decide whether Kawhi stays or he goes.
Okay, if he goes, where does he go?
I like him in Miami.
Him and Jimmy?
Yeah, him and Jimmy got a real good relationship, great relationship. Mm-hmm. I love him in Miami, to be honest.
That's a good call.
Sound good to me.
Those are the two teams I feel.
Sound good to me.
Those are the two teams I feel have a little bit of have some pressure on them. Obviously, you know, there's a lot of talk, dude. You know, we've got, 7 or 8 years now CJ and Dame together, and it, you know what I mean, is those two dominant scores, is that backcourt a recipe for the championship? I think that's what a lot of people are asking. Like I said earlier in the show, I think the Warriors, you know, got in their way when they had their dynasty run. Injuries have plagued that team. I've always been a big fan of Portland. Clippers, again, on the clock. I mean, when you're the little brother in this city and you go out and get all these big free agents, you're always on the clock in L.A. regardless. But the moves they've made definitely put them on the clock. So, like you said, I didn't think about that part, but, you know, what they do can possibly deter or encourage Kawhi and what he's want to do. And then the Bucks. You know, I think the Bucks have a very good team. You know, Giannis has been a two-time MVP. Again, slid under the radar this season, but added some really key pieces this year. And it's not even, to me, it's not even so much about them winning a championship, it's about making that jump, at least representing, you know, getting to the Eastern Conference Finals and putting up a fight. So all that said, man, I think it's going to be very exciting playoffs, as we talked, very, you know, evenly matched, even starting in the first round. So hope you guys enjoyed this special What's Burning playoff edition with our brethren Kendrick Lamar Perkins. Perk, we appreciate you, man. You can catch us on Showtime Basketball YouTube and the iHeart platform, Black Effects.
And on Twitter and Instagram at Show Basketball.